14. Now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set you a king over you. What was the criteria? What was the criteria for this king? First Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that shall reign over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Notice the terminology. Fear Yahweh. And that term, brethren and sisters, means to recognize God as an authority in our lives. Perfect love casts out fear. But we have a respect for the God that we worship. We give him the glory and the honor that is his due. We fear him because he is our creator. And our actions, therefore, are governed by the knowledge that God can see not only what we do on the outside, but what we think on the inside. That God is our sovereign in our lives. And we've got to obey his voice. Listen to what he has to say. And in order to do that, we've got to read the word, haven't we? We've got to become familiar with what he has to say to us. And we rebel not against his commandment. How well did Saul fare? How well did he work out in the purpose of God? Let's have a look at a few points with regards to Saul, brethren and sisters. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And in verse 6 it says that Saul was turned into another man. Interesting little comment in itself. May not suggest very much to us. But let's just have a look at what we're being told here. Verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Men. Look at verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. God gave him another heart. We're not interested in the mechanics of how that was accomplished. Simply to say, brethren and sisters, that God turned him into another man, and he became he was given another heart. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's a hint in verse 11. And it came to pass, when all that knew Saul before time saw that, behold, he prophesied amongst the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon Saul? Is Saul amongst the prophets? You see, brethren and sisters, what we're being told, that it wasn't Saul's natural disposition. He wasn't inclined to spiritual matters. God gave him another heart. He turned him into another man. And everybody that knew Saul beforehand couldn't believe it. Here Saul is quoting scripture. Is Saul amongst the prophets? So that's the first hint that we have of this man Saul, that he wasn't naturally inclined to spiritual things. There's no indication, brethren and sisters, that Saul ever sought a blessing from God when he went out to battle. Just go to 1 Chronicles, for example, chapter 13. Just a little comment that comes out in that record. And there we read it, verse 3. David says, let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. So Saul wasn't inclined to ask God whether he should do this or that. And that's very evident when we look at two situations in the book of Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. Look at Saul's excuse because of the reason why he offered burnt offerings himself instead of waiting for Samuel. Verse 12. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. So he hadn't asked God beforehand whether he should go out, and he forced himself. He was a weak-minded man. Chapter 14 and verse 18. He learns his lesson the second time. And now when they're faced with the Philistines, he says to Ahiah the priest, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time in the, with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. He couldn't wait for God's answer. He was impatient, brethren and sisters. He couldn't wait for God's answers. Let's get on with it. Withdraw your hand. We haven't time to wait for what God has to say. The Philistine is at the door. He was impatient. And he cut off the priestly work. And he failed to keep the commandment of God. Look at chapter 13. And verse 13. Samuel says to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. And that was the criteria. Rebel not against the commandment of the Lord. We see the same again, don't we? In chapter 15 and verse 11. It repenteth me, said God, that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. See, there had been a principle laid down in the book of Deuteronomy, hadn't there, brethren and sisters? Back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, God in his foreknowledge had anticipated the time when Israel would seek for a king. And God, as early as that, set out the criteria for the king's conduct before Israel. Verse 18. But look at verse 14 for connection. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and say, I will set a king over me like the nations that are about me. God anticipates Israel's move. Down to verse 18. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep or to be obedient to the words of that law. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. To fear, to obey, and to rebel not against the commandment. And Saul failed on all counts. He kept not the commandment of God. And he was an individual, brethren and sisters, that was unwilling to accept responsibility. A man that would not stand up and be counted. And that's what we're lacking in our community today, brethren and sisters. Men and women who are willing to stand up and be counted for the things that they believe. And Saul was that kind of individual. He justified his actions. And he blamed the other people for what he had done wrong. The people forced me. It's a reminiscence, isn't it, of Adam and Eve all over again. It was the woman which thou gavest me. And Adam blamed God. And we are reluctant, brethren and sisters, to accept responsibility for our actions. Let's take the opportunity to stand up and be counted. And here was a man that was overly concerned with the letter of the law more than the spirit of doing God's work. When Jonathan, as we read in this morning's readings, went out to battle against the Philistines, he was about to be put to death because Saul was humiliated simply because he had made a rash vow himself. He was willing to keep the letter of the law in order to justify his own weakness and ineffectiveness. Just to conclude with, brethren and sisters, let's look at two examples of people and king. What were they both like? You see, Saul's name means asked. And God gave them precisely what they asked for. A king like the nations. That's what they wanted, and that's what they got. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 5, we read these words. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 600,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and they pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth Haven. Now what did the word of God tell them to do under those circumstances? Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 1 to 4. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemy and seest horses and chariots, and all the people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for Yahweh thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye come nigh unto the battle, that the priests shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is he that goeth before you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. That's what the word of God said. And the Philistines are there on the doorstep of Israel. How did they fare, brethren and sisters? How did the people fare? Verse 6 of 1 Samuel 13. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves, and in the thickets, and in the rocks, and in the high places, and in the pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan. They fled as far away as they could into the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people following him trembled. That's how far they had come spiritually because of Saul's leadership. They ignored the teaching of the word of God, and they failed to put their confidence in the Almighty. They walked by sight and not by faith. And they did that, brethren and sisters, because the leadership of Israel was weak. The leadership of Israel was weak. And in our ecclesias today, weakness is evidenced by weak leadership. Look at Saul in chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek did to Israel and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy them. And it's as though God says, you've been appointed king, act like a king. Go and smite Amalek. And what happened, brothers and sisters? Well, first of all, let's ask ourselves the question, why did he ask him to go and smite the Amalekites? The Philistines were the main problem. They were the ones who were causing the difficulties amongst Israel. Well, first of all, let's review the background to Amalek. If we went back to Numbers chapter 24, we're told there in one of the prophecies of Balaam, verse 7, of the king, he shall pour the water out of his buckets and his seed, verse 7, and his seed shall be in many waters, and Israel's king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. And of course, the king of the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15 was Agag. And so Saul was being asked to prove himself. Israel's king had to be higher than Agag. Now, what was the problem with the Amalekites? Deuteronomy chapter 25 tells us, and at verse 18, that the Amalekites met Israel by the way and smote the hindmost of them, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. And so the Amalekites were sort of cowards. That's the way sin is. It sort of comes in at the back door. And it attacks the weak and the feeble within our ecclesias. Those who were stragglers, the fringe benefits of the ecclesia, we might call it. And sin can pick them off one after the other. And the Amalekites had no fear of God. They had no respect for the God of Israel. And God said that they had to blot out, verse 19 at the end, the remembrance of the Amalekites from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. And so Saul was being put to the test. But there was another thing about the Amalekites which was to come out in Saul's life. Go back to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And it's the incident where Moses was at the top of the hill and Hur and Aaron had to hold up his hands while Joshua fought the Amalekites in the battle in the valley below. And what does God say? Verse 14. Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of the Amalekites from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nissi. For he said, because Yahweh hath sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation unto generation. Notice what your margins say there. We've checked it out and the Hebrew is correct. Because the hand of Amalek is against the throne of the Lord. That's really what it's saying. That's why they had to have war with Amalek. Because the hand of the Amalekites was against the throne of the Lord. The Amalekites challenged the authority and the rulership of God. It was a rebellion against divine authority and rule. It was a rebellion against the sovereignty of the Lord of heaven and earth. And what did Saul do? He preserved Agag, king of the Amalekites. He claimed to have performed the word of God, and he rejected the word of God himself. And what in effect, brethren and sisters, Saul did, he allied himself with the Amalekites. He challenged the sovereignty and the authority of the Word of God. And what does Samuel say to him? And notice the words, brethren and sisters. Like king, like people. Verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is of the iniquity and idolatry. Saul was no different than the people that he ruled over. There was an open challenge on Saul's part to the authority of the Almighty. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He was prepared to listen to another source, the source of his own heart. And a lot of times, brethren and sisters and young people, we listen to our own heart when we want to do something rather than listen to the dictates of the Word of God. And stubbornness, which means to persist in a course of action against the things of God. Stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry and iniquity. Saul's name means asked. And it reflects the kind of person that Israel really wanted. And what we see, brethren and sisters, in the life of Saul is a kind of judgment upon the nation. If you go back to chapter 10, you'll notice that when Saul was anointed, he was anointed with a vial. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and he poured it upon his head and he kissed him and said, It is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over this his inheritance. He took a vial and he poured it upon his head. And the vial in Scripture is associated with judgment, isn't it? We have the seven vials of the book of Revelation, where the judgments of God are poured out from the vials on the nations of Europe. It's the same word, brethren and sisters, which is used in second book of Kings and chapter 9. When Jehu was anointed king over Israel in order to perform the judgment of God upon the house of Ahab. And it says there in verse 1, the Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said, gird up thy loins and take of this box, this vial, of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And what did he do with it? He poured it on the head of Jehu, who was to perform the judgments of God on the house of Ahab. Saul's life was a judgment upon the house of Israel. And it was preparing the house of Israel for the right quality of men that would lead them. David, a man after his own heart. You and I, brethren and sisters, have been promised that we will be kings in God's kingdom. The book of Revelation, in chapter 5, verse 10, are words which were very familiar to us. God says that we will be kings and priests and reign over the earth. We're being groomed for that work now, in the days of our mortality. But the opportunity to be kings and priests in God's kingdom will be taken away from us, as it was from Saul, if we do not fear Yahweh, if we have failed to obey his voice, and if we rebel against the commandments of Yahweh. There's no point, brethren and sisters, following the letter of the law if our hearts are so far removed from God that we can't be recognized by our Father in heaven. And what we're going to see as we progress through our studies now is the kind of heart that God is really interested in as we look at David, a man after God's own heart. Thank you.